had a blowout in the second game. You had a kind of a thrilling win in the first game. You're facing Don Newcombe in the third game. How did you do against Nuke previously? Do you recall if he was...
No, I really don't. Nuke was a great pitcher. Had had very strong stuff. And, you know, he wasn't an easy guy to hit against. So I can't tell you why. I got some hits off him, but I'm sure he got me out a lot of things, too.
Sure. Any talk before the last game from Leo, anybody, or was it just a question of showing up, getting out there, getting going?
No, we'd been through the whole season, and had plenty of pep talks before, and I think we knew what we had to do. There's nothing to say. We had professionals, Dark and Stanky and Lockman and Irvin and Don Mueller and all these guys, and we had a good ball club, so, but it's funny, that day, it was the first time for a lot of things. Now, what I found myself doing that final day, when we were warming up before going out to take infield practice, I found myself looking around at our guys. And maybe I was looking for support, I don't know. But I looked at Dark, and I knew he was tough. He was as good a competitor as anybody. And well, I'm glad he's on my team. And Stanky, I remember looking at Lockman. And, you know, and I thought, hey, you know, maybe I'm just trying to build up strength within myself. But I'd never done that before. But I looked at my guys over and, you know, we're ready. Let's go get them. But I'd never done that before.
Well, this was an unusual game, too.
And I think and there were a lot of things that happened that day. And rationalizing them, going back over them, asking why, you know, what it boils down to. I think we're professionals and we get down to fundamentals, the important things, and total concentration and total determination. And that's what it was that day. And of course, the way it turned out, I guess, too, some things are just meant to be, and that's the only way I looked at it.
So it's the bottom of the ninth, and by now, you guys did start a rally.
Yeah, of course, we were losing 4-1 going into the last of the ninth, and I never felt more dejected in my life when I threw the glove down in the dugout and felt terrible. And I remember just thinking we just weren't good enough to go beyond this point. Those Dodgers are too tough for us, and what a letdown. And pretty soon, and I also realized that I was the fifth hitter that inning. I'm dead. I don't even get a chance to hit. Newcombe, because Newcombe mowed us down in the eighth inning. We just looked unbeatable. So pretty soon, though, we got a couple of ground ball base hits, and wow, things are looking up. But Monty Irvin popped up. Here's our big, strong guy all year, and it just so happened he popped up. Which anybody could do against Newcombe. But then it was when Lockman hit a double to left, and we scored a run, and it's now 4-2, and I'm up, I get a chance to hit. But of course, that's when Mueller slid in the third and hurt his ankle severely, and looking back on that, and rationalizing the whole thing, it stopped the ball game. Stopped the tension, with the tension of the ball game, because really I was down at third, very much concerned about Mueller. You know, he was lying there in pain, and I felt badly for him. And it wasn't until they carried him off the field that I got back in the baseball game again, because in the meantime, they had made a pitching change. I wasn't even aware of it.
You didn't realize that they'd run in Branca?
No, I didn't realize. So now I'm heading the home plate with a bat. Still, I had the bat in my hand all the time. And I realized, hey, I'm the next hitter. And I'd never done it before. Of course, approaching home plate from third base to begin with. And then psyching myself up, telling myself to wait and watch, give yourself a chance to hit, swearing at myself, calling myself an SOB. wait and watch. Give yourself a chance to hit. Do a good job. All those things is what I'm saying to myself. I never talked to myself like that before. But basically, it was wait and watch, wait and watch. You know, don't get over anxious. As soon as you commit yourself, your weight's out on your front foot. You know, you've got nothing left. So wait and watch, and really psych myself up and swear to myself to just give myself a chance to hit. So I got in the batter's box, and of course I realized Branca was out there, but it didn't faze me.
Right. Did you know much about Branca? You'd faced him before, right?
Oh, sure, but you're up there, you're just concentrating on the ball.
Right.
And of course he threw the first pitch right through the middle of the plate, which was the way, and he pitched, you know, he played for DeRocher quite a bit, and of course that was DeRocher's way, you know, you come in, you don't nibble at the corners, you get a strike on the guy, and then go to work. Well, of course, I took the first, and the only thing I could think of, I was waiting, and so determined, waiting and watching. I watched it come right over the middle of the plate, and I later found out the guys wanted to kill me on the bench for taking that pitch. But now he's going to come inside on me with a bad pitch, because I guess he's figuring, come inside and get me back a little bit, and then come back with a breaking ball away from the plate. From the polo grounds, I could hit his breaking ball away from the plate, out to center, right, left, center, you know, 400 feet, and 450 feet, and Snyder would have been out there waiting for him. But he just didn't get it in far enough. It was a ball, but, and I was quick with my hands anyway.
Turned fast on it.
And I just jumped right on it. I just remember getting a glimpse of it coming in and jumping on it, and that was it.
I was bred that you didn't know it was a home run until, I guess maybe you hit second, or you thought it was off the wall.
Oh, no. Is
that true?
Oh, yeah, I thought immediately it was a home run.
Oh, you did?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I said it's home run. It ran through my mind, home run. But then I saw it start to sink. So obviously I got a little bit on top of it.
You had slightly, top spin on it.
Just saw it. It had to have tremendous top spin. Because then...
It's a fastball, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But then, so I'm halfway to first, and I'm watching it. I couldn't get my eyes off it. And then I saw it disappear. Well, I thought... It's not a home run when it started to sink. It's just a base hit. And
which you would have taken,
really,
I'm sure.
That's all I wanted,
right.
Was a base hit. Because I'd hit it hard enough. It had to be off the wall, I felt. And then it disappeared. And that was it. And then it was excitement I'd never experienced before. And all it meant was that we beat those guys, and never in the world would we think they should be talking about it.
No.
40
Over
years
40 years later?
Later.
It's still being talked about. Does that surprise you? I guess it must.
Not anymore. But, we've come used to it, but I've been surprised, you know, over the years that they're still making some fuss about this. But of course, you know, the world of sports has become so commercial, and baseball cards and this and that. Like, I get mail from all over the country from these kids telling me how they, you know, about the home run and talking about the home run. And these are young kids, but I guess they see it on TV.
Yeah, it's been replayed many times,
so
you
that's,
probably know.
So of course, I've become accustomed to it. And naturally, wherever I go, any place, people meet me and that's what they want to talk about.
Do you recall what it was like that winter after the series was over? I know you had to play the Yankees the following day, won the first game of the series, subsequently lost.
Yeah, and that was a tough one. That hurt, not being able to finish it off the year, you know, with a win against the Yankees. But, no, I just, you know, a lot of mail and phone calls and a lot of stuff like that. But, of course, back then, you know, it wasn't like today where you'd be on television and you'd be on all the shows and
right.
This and that. But
you had a busy winter, right?
Oh, sure, yeah. But I didn't, you know, I was invited to do a lot of speaking, which I didn't do, and, you know, so it was just phone calls, and in a sense, it was quiet, you know, that I didn't, had to go to a few banquets, but, you know, it wasn't an everyday thing.
Okay, one more question. Do you have any friends, two more questions, excuse me. Did you have any friends, close friends on any of the teams you played on, and any
yeah,
today?
Yeah, Larry Jansen and Whitey Lockman. But on the Braves, nobody I'd call close, but guys that, you know, I knew and liked, but I know when the Giants came into Milwaukee to play, I'd go out with Lockman and Jansen, kind of like Jack Larkey, who was one of the group around rather. But no, that's about it.
Okay, last question. Your opinion of the game today, are you still following it? What are your thoughts about it?
Well, I keep an eye on things. I don't have the time or don't care to sit and watch television for 3 hours watching a ball game, unless once in a while I enjoy particular pitches. Maybe I want to watch a particular player. But I just kind of keep a distance I really have a rough idea of what's going on, but, you know, the game has gotten to be a pain in the neck, in a sense, based on the whole starting with agents and these huge contracts, where the game of baseball has been left behind. The business aspect of it is what everybody seems to be more concerned with, and of course the media is part of that. You know, why can't we sign contracts? Back in our time, we signed a one-year contract based on what our performance was the year before, and it was over again. And we'd haggle and hassle some of us over contracts, but once you did, it's over with. This never ends. This business aspect, players dissatisfied. When they're already making $2-3 billion, they gotta have another billion, and we wonder how much can you spend it? What about the fans? And moving around from team to team, we moved around at times, we got traded, but not the way these guys move around today. What about the kids? Their favorite players just taking off from another team to get an extra $1 million. So that's part of it, it's the stability of it. You know, I don't like the instability of players moving around the way they do. It's become more of a selfish thing. And look, you can't blame the players, I guess, but it's a system of baseball now the way it is. It's too bad.
That's it for me. I appreciate your time, Bobby.
Okay, good, John. Good.